listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Inclusive AF podcast. I'm Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton. Whoop, whoop.
I want a little bit more. That was kind of pitchy. That was kind of
right. I need auto tune. Can I get? We're gonna get auto tune for the opening of the show.
I think we need it. So super excited. We have one of our friends here today. Everyone is coming.
So we might be candid today. Unlike other shows.
I was just gonna say that. Like, we might be more open. No, it just always is. Yeah. But we're going to have some fun, I think. So, Tara, thank you for joining us. Would love for you to introduce yourself.
I almost started singing The Real World True Story.
I love that.
Start getting real. Or start being real.
Stop being polite.
Okay,
start getting real.
Every time that I hear that, then I go to the Chappelle show, when things got too real. Do you remember that?
I've been watching the reunions, so I'm so sorry, but I'm like into it now. Okay, anyway. Hi, I'm Tara Turk-Haynes. I'm the VP of DEI and talent at Leaf Group. We own a collection of lifestyle brands, Society 6, Well and Good, Live Strong, Saatchi Art, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Happy to be here.
Yay! See, it's Tara. See, listen.
I know, every time. I do it every time. So we have, obviously, Tara Robertson is on. She's been on a few times, and she had to correct us in the first episode because Jackie and I both were calling her Tara. And so you have the Canadian version as well with Tara.
I do. Thanks, Mom.
I did grow up in Michigan,
so maybe, I don't know. Close.
Maybe you have a little bit of the French Canadian going on there.
Yep.
Welcome to the mini bin, A. Okay, so I don't even know where to start.
We're here.
Let's start with Work Human, and that's mostly just because I think that was the first time you two met in real life too, because it was the first time I met you in real life.
Correct.
Tara. We connected well before that.
Yeah.
But in person, IRL.
IRL. Work Human.
I mean, like a lot of people, IRL after so many years, but love Work Human. But yes, that's where we connected, and I attached myself to the two of you, and you were very gracious about me just not leaving your sides. Love it. Thank you so much.
That's part of Work Human, though. We just find cool people to hang out with, or like see people that we only get to see like once every few years at Work Human, all right, so talk to us. What are you working on right now? What do you got going on with Leaf? What's going on?
Sanity? No. So we are doing a lot. Actually, we one of our DEI sort of initiatives is a training called Escalara that we were the early parts of. It's a micro learning platform that we joined a year ago, and now we're just kind of starting to see some of the demographic information, which has been really helpful to kind of see where our gaps are. I mean, like many people, we've also taken a bit of the summer off. So we are getting back in tune with Latine History Month very soon. But we've done, some incredible things. I have 3 ERGs this year because we believe them to be, started by our people and not HR. And so having 3 really kind of proves that there's an appetite for this, especially in the pandemic. And our Parents at Leaf Group is our latest one. They've been super active, really community supportive. We've got a DEI council where we're working on our quarterly meetup. It's just mostly knowledge share, like really community building. We have so many different brands because we own a mixture of media and marketplace brands. And so people, I think the biggest question about DEI is like, how do I do it? Like what? Great. You could like read, study, get your certificates, have a degree, and then you go, okay, so where do I start? And so I think a lot of that is about community touch base. And so we've really built that at Leaf Group. So I'm happy to really kind of see a lot of that into fruition. And then we're also gearing up for our engagement survey very soon. which is my favorite time of year.
It's not my favorite. I was gonna, well, how many surveys do you do?
We only do, during the pandemic, we only did one a year. Like before that we were doing two, but like the whole idea was, y'all, we don't just tax people. Like honestly,
that's right.
Keep asking them stuff. Are we going to do anything about it? Like it's really kind of very purposeful, which I do appreciate. So I love it because it's once a year, and we use Culture Amp, which I'm obsessed with. And so, yeah, so I love that time of year. For me, I didn't love it before when we had another platform, which
I love Culture Amp. But I, what I hate is like, it's not even hate, it's not the word.
Right.
It is when you sit there and say, okay, how many questions are we going to ask?
Yeah.
How many go into what category?
Yeah.
How many are going to be like, do we do multiple choice, fill in the box? That part is painful for me. The results, data, love.
Yeah.
The planning, it's like,
so we keep kind of apples to apples, generally speaking. So we don't deviate much away from the original plan. It's just like a couple of new questions every time. But starting from scratch, I probably would know. Absolutely not. Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, though. It is really cool when you are on the putting it together end.
Yeah.
Be able to know what lever it actually ties to. And that's what I love about Culture Amp, too, is like, if we ask this question, we're going to know X.
Yep.
And like how that all works, like just the psychology behind it also makes me like, I get excited about that too.
Yes.
But yeah, the data, always the data.
There hasn't been one time with Culture Amp that I haven't been like, oh.
Correct. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. Because I think before with the other platform to be not named, I was like, first I need a degree to upload my data, which I don't have time for. And I think the FBI needs to get involved at some point. I'm not sure. And then like you get a like just screenshots, like there's no presence. I was like, what am I supposed to do? It looks like raw data. Like, great. If you go to school for this, guess what? I have a theater degree. This is not right.
Not gonna do it.
Nope.
I will say that we shouldn't turn this into a like Culture Amp commercial, but we will right now because I think that's the part I love too, is the way you can slice and dice the data.
Yes.
Like you'd be like in Singapore and this specific group and this specific department under this specific manager, and you're like, I know what's going on.
And I'm also not good at deck building. And so therefore, they give you one. They're like, here's your deck. And you're like, great. Oh, I can actually edit the data in the deck. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, you brought up something that is important about like when you get the data or things being actionable and looking at how many times you do that. So what is your regular, do you have a regular plan of what you do? Like, okay, we have the data. This is how we're going to use it, break it out. Do you let people know? I'd love to hear more about, because so many people are like, what do we do?
Yeah. I'd love to
hear more about it.
Yeah. I love it because, so we are a lean team. So that's why I have engagement underneath me too, of course, but I think it makes sense if you think about like DEI and talent, things like that. But, so we do a high level deck for the whole company. And we do like, we share like, here's our engagement, here are the different brands and departments and these things. So you can kind of see measurement quarter over quarter or year over year, whatever makes sense. And then we do articulate some high level action items. And then we meet with leaders and we go, okay, this is what your team looks like. Let's talk about what your two goals are looking at this. Like, how do you, you know, want to interpret this? We, you know, I love that the comments are confidential for us. And so therefore we can share comments with certain leader, like all the comments with certain leaders so that they can see context as well for their different departments. But I do love the transparency for leaders to understand like what their people are feeling, especially like in a remote environment, right? Like, I just think across the board, so many organizations struggle with remote managing no matter what your level is. And we have struggled to connect right to our people. Like, we hired 200 people during the pandemic. Like, I can't, you know, if you think about that, like touch points and like all of these different things, what, you know, not in person, what are we doing to kind of make up for that in a way? And so I think hearing those voices is really helpful for leaders.
I agree with you, and I think like pulling all that information so people can see and be actionable, I like that you said what are the two things that you're going to do? Because this is on top of everything else.
Correct.
It's yes.
On your rush list.
So I want to ask you a question. The two things, is that by team or at what level do you start setting that two action item or that action plan? And I'm asking on purpose. So,
okay, great. So since we own multiple brands, since we are technically a parent company, each of the leaders of those brands and whoever they also think like their number two is, we have a meeting with them. People team is involved as well, and say, like, now you see this data, like, what kind of things? And also, you know, Culture Amp gives you some suggestions. They may not take those suggestions, and that's fine. We have had at times overall leaf group two things too, right? Like, maybe there's a pattern where managers, you know, are not communicating things top down across the board. So, like, how can we best support them from a corporate perspective? But a lot of times it is very specific to that brand that we own and that team that they're working on, and like specific managers and leaders kind of seeing their direct reports and what that looks like. So we look for patterns, which I think is really important.
It is important, and it's nice. It's so nice. We've transitioned over the last 5 years, and it's really nice when it's like, you want to have the data. People want to have the insight. Mm-hmm. They want to have that piece. Because I was talking to my team, and I'd love to hear, a lot of things that really depend on where diversity sits in every organization. It can be different. The biggest question is, for practitioners are like, where do I start? But then when you're looking and you do your research, in my experience, I'm like, there's always a mole somewhere. Always. Always. Sometimes it could be your wife. I'm just saying, or partner. I just throwing that out there. It can. In every organization, there's when you first start, when people aren't being held accountable,
redacted.
Name redacted. If you're not holding people accountable, you don't know, why are we having such a problem retaining Black women? And you're like, where is it? And everybody's like, It's not me.
But I would also say, I think that's, you know, the action behind it. But as you just said, Jackie, also the accountability behind it.
Right.
I think this is something that I, for years in different organizations that I was in, we would do the survey and then it'd be like, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
No action was taken. And I'm like, that's worse than, like, why are we even doing this? And like, you're actually disengaging people now.
Yes.
Don't do a survey unless you plan on actually doing something about what you hear. And so many organizations, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to do this and this and this and have a fancy survey. And you're like, cool. But the survey doesn't matter. It's the data you get from it and what you do about it. That's what actually matters. Yeah. Where you meet everybody. So
we definitely we drive up, so the leaders know you better emphasize participation for your teams, because you know what, you benefit from that. This is not like a people team function where it's like, do their survey. No. This is for you. And so I think we have struggled in the past with the accountability piece and doing a process that makes sense, not necessarily not doing anything, but like, what's going to land, what really works and what sticks, and how can we facilitate that? So that has been a good journey to learn. Cause I think each leader is also different, and we're like, hey, remember these two things? Like, how's that going? Maybe you're doing a check-in. Are you using your internal comms person, if you have one, and saying, like, as seen in the engagement survey, you all feel like you like, you know, Pepsi over Coke, whatever. Like, how are you tying the things that you're doing back to the effort that they put in to give you the data in the first place? I think is one way to like really see some level of movement. And people forget that all the time. They just want to go into like action mode. Okay, well, now I've, you know, moved my daily stand up to 11. So people don't have to now feel like, you know, they're, you know, not waking up in time or whatever. It's more like, you know, I've heard you, I read your data, let's talk about what we can do. And collaboration, I think, you know, you don't have to have all the answers as a leader all the time. Maybe you go back to your teams and go like, what do you think of this? Like, we do expect our leaders to review this with their teams directly, not to like pinpoint and be like, who is the mole? But who, like, you know, what do you think about this? How can we solve some of these problems together? Like, I just think that that's a really important piece of the process itself.
Yeah, I think you said two things there that are such huge pieces. The, you know, when you actually have the leaders go meet with their teams.
Yeah.
How many times, and I've been in the room when this has happened and you're like, I'm not saying a word.
Yeah.
Where the banker will come and be like, oh, so I don't know who said this.
Right.
And you're like,
that is not how we start things off.
That's not how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Or you'll hear back from the manager and they'll be like, I think it was so-and-so that said this. And it's like, who cares? Like that's
yeah. That my favorite is when they're like, this is not true. You're like, okay. So somebody's not understanding this. You just called somebody on your team a liar. This is not going to go over well.
Right.
But the second piece, there is also the we're listening. Because I think that's that even like we hear this like with reviews, with so many things, I never got feedback from my leader. And you're like, okay, you actually have to say, I'm going to give you feedback now. Are you ready? Like that's how it actually registers. If you don't tell them you're doing it, they don't know. Mm-hmm. It's also, you gave us this feedback in the survey. Here, we heard you are listening and here's what we're doing about it. And you have to say like those exact words.
Yeah.
People don't remember what they said. Yeah, they don't remember, oh yeah, on that survey I said that thing and now they're doing something about it. They are changing to Coke in the cafe. As I said, I like Coke better.
Because
nobody really likes Pepsi. Let's be clear.
I love Pepsi.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. We actually had that question in our survey. Is like, since the last engagement survey, you've seen some movement in your team. And we only make it apply to the person, like people who have actually been there. I won't say it's the strongest score that we have, but you know what? It's there. I want people to like see it, you know?
Right. Well, and you need people to know. And let's be clear. I like a good Pepsi, fountain Pepsi, when I'm hungover.
Perfect.
Burrito. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's Coke. But I mean, you know, I digress. Back to the survey. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, because I think that's a piece too, is like asking people, do you think we did stuff?
Yeah.
Because, and Caltramp does that question. I think it's such a great question to ask, because people need to go, oh wait, I did give feedback. Did they do something about it? And that's great. So.
Yep. Keep asking.
Because that's also how you get more feedback. So.
Yes.
All right. Next topic I would like to discuss. So you said this is your favorite time of year is the survey, not annual review process.
You might be surprised to know that not all serial killers are straight cisgender white men, and the victims of true crime are not a monolith either. She's Wendy and I'm Beth, and together we host Fruit Loop's Serial Killers of Color, a true crime podcast.
Together we take deep dives into the true crime stories about marginalized and minoritized perps and victims that often go untold.
We also provide the context and nuance that these stories deserve. At Fruit Loops, we're serving up true crime with a side of history, society, culture, and some fun.
Listen to Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, surprisingly.
Oh my God, Toad, that's my favorite.
What?
I was born weird. I don't know what to tell you. I'm so sorry.
No. So survey's good, but I do feel like there's the same, like it's communication.
Yeah.
Everyone wants more communication to understand what's going on and more pay, benefits pay always come up. Those are the two that like every survey I've ever looked at in the 20 plus years I've been in HR, communication and like pay and benefits have always popped.
Yep.
Is telling, but.
Right. Our reviews are not annual, so they're quarterly check-ins, which is a little more helpful for sure. But again, I don't think deviates from the same themes, right? So everybody, you know, I don't know. It's just so hard because everyone thinks like they know competitive salaries out there, like they did their research on Glassdoor.
Please stop.
They think that they should be paid this because they saw on Glassdoor this. And so like, that's a really challenging, I don't know. I want to like fund a like think tank for, you know, people who work so they can actually get real data and not like Google stuff and, you know, go to Reddit and believe everything they read. I don't know. It's just so hard, right? People just want more information. And like, there's not a lot of places that are valid for them to get it. Like,
well, even the people that get the data from the places that collect data, it's not all the data.
No, it's very specific.
Like, they can literally talk to five people and they'll just put the average. Like, you don't know how many people or I mean, they do have that if you want it, but you don't. So it's like, how do you analyze? I think what's interesting, like this happens all the time. Like we're working with IT and especially we're all looking for engineers and they'll be like, well, this person, you know, is currently earning this. And I'm like, the salary was posted. I know they work at Hulu, ABC, Netflix, Disney, whatever. We are not those people. Like, look around, but this is not that. And it doesn't mean that you wouldn't be paid that at a different organization or in different pieces. Or that's why pay transparency is so important. So that people, because people who do apply have already, they already understand where we're coming from.
Yeah.
They try to do the traditional things and we don't do that. They find out we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're a current employee, I think it's really good too, because you understand where you fall instead of just sort of being like, I saw on the internet, my job pays this at other places. And I think I should be paid that too. It's like you said, there's like so many missing pieces of what that really means, you know?
And then I'm not the right person because I'll be like, go work there. That's not the right answer. It's why I moved over fully to TA.
You should not. Listen, I will help you. I will do a reference. What can I do?
That's right.
but I'm going to say, how many times have you actually done that? Because I've done that for sure. When someone's like, oh, but I could make $300 gazillion over at XYZ company. You're like, cool. You don't want to work there.
Yeah.
And one of them is always the one that gets boxes sent to me on a daily basis, but we won't mention the name of the company. But
yeah, no, it's true. We, when we had a board, cause we got acquired by Graham Holdings last year, but when we had our board, my mentor, Beverly Carmichael, who was like the chief people officer at Southwest for many years, spoke to our whole company about like, the grass is sometimes super greener over there. And if before you leave, you want to make sure you've done everything you possibly can to like water the lawn that you're at, because sometimes it makes sense to leave, but sometimes it actually does not. And so I think more people need to kind of talk about that, because there are people, you know, all of our think pieces are the great blank, great something happening every week. So I don't know what this week is. I think it's, we can't hear you, Jackie.
Oh, sorry. I was like, what was it last week? It was like
reconsideration.
Yeah, it was something.
Renegotiation, reconsideration, like, there's great R things happening all the time. I don't know.
I like the great Get Out. That's my favorite. The great
what Get about Out. The great quietly quitting? Have you?
Oh, that's like, please stop. I can't listen. My mom used to tell me, you know what? Some days you need a day off at work.
Right.
Is that what quietly quitting? It feels like. Like, please stop.
So many clickbait terms that I think that are coming up. And I think this is a good conversation though, that is about your, like, I don't know about you, but I'm near burned out. Like it happened for sure. It happens on and off, especially the past 2 years, especially all that we've all gone through, especially if you're in DEI or people teams or HR teams, whatever. But what I saw, I think on someone's TikTok was like, the manager said, are you, they were like, I don't have enough work. I feel like I'm not contributing enough. And they were like, do you not have enough work, or are you working at the level that you're supposed to?
That's
and
right.
You're just an overachiever, right? And I think perhaps many of us have been doing 200% when possibly 75 would have been just fine, right? Just fine. And so now we feel a little bit stressed or guilty. I don't know what it is, but I think it's a really interesting perspective right now, this. And it's not quitting really. So I don't know why we're calling it.
No. And it's not new. That's why I'm like, you're acting like this is a brand new concept. This has been going on
forever.
Right.
But I do think, and I particularly identify with when you are used to following somebody's lead, like looking to figure out the company culture and how do people interact and do all those things, then you are home by yourself. There can be a fear. And I've noticed even after onboarding, I was talking to a gentleman here at Textio, and it was after the performance management feedback came out, and a lot of us were triggered. A lot of people from underrepresented groups were triggered because it was like I knew this was real, but seeing it in print really has me feeling some kind of way. And his response to me was like, I love it at Textio, but I'm terrified because my boss says I'm doing a good job and I'm fine, but I don't believe them. And so I work twice as hard because I don't want it to seem like I'm taking advantage of the opportunity and I don't know what to do. Like, right. These are new conversations that we're having. Once you start being more inclusive, and especially when people treat you right, feel weird.
Yeah.
Like, it always feels like a trick as we work and navigate through it. And so what was funny was it was the next week they were doing like their quarterly awards, and the guy like outdid the next person, the second place person by double. I was like, oh, you are really, really, really scared. Like, you need to pull back, you know?
That is not sustainable.
That's right. It isn't. And it was like, next week you're going to look like you're slipping.
I know, you're gonna be exhausted too, and you're gonna burn out, and then you'll be like, this is not the right job for me because I just feel overworked.
So it's a great question though, like, how do you communicate to that person or to anyone joining the team, like, what does it mean to do 100% versus 200 or 300%? Because, you know, like what did you say in response to that gentleman, Jackie, that said that to you? Like, what was your response?
Well, I told him to go back to his manager, and then we went back to the business partner and was like, listen, this is something you need to coach through, make sure that your metrics are really specific, and we need to give actionable feedback on a more regular cadence, which is unironically what we're trying to do as an organization right now. So it was like, this looks like it's not particular feedback. And because this is the part that like that we keep talking about, and a friendly reminder, traditionally people within this group, like we're looking at the data, get this kind of feedback. Make sure you're not giving this kind of feedback.
Right.
Like, let's make sure that we're doing all of those things. Cause I think we forget about the effect of these like annual reviews or those feedback and what it means to people who are within underrepresented groups and not getting those things.
Need to
be considered.
Well, and it's also the how many times sitting on the, I'll just say from the role that I've been as a generalist business partner, you know, whatever, how many times I've heard from employees, this is the first time I'm getting this feedback on a review.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there is that reality that it is a trick, that it is, everything's fine, everything's fine. And then I get my review and I'm not performing the way I'm supposed to. And my manager hasn't told me that. And that's the part that, I mean, like that comment or that response from an employee, literally that is one of those like triggers for me that I want to like throw things because I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you not telling your people what's really going on?
Totally. And that's one of the reasons why we implemented quarterly because we tell people like you should be having your conversations with your manager about performance, goals, growth, all of that. Often some managers do it more often than quarterly. I'm not saying we're amazing at it. I'm just saying like there are systems in place to help people succeed a little bit better. And I even think it comes even further back. Jackie, you and I are in talent. So I think even when you're talking about like the job description, because like if like I will take out fast paced and hit the ground running in a job description in a heartbeat. Like I would be like, delete, nope, nah. Because first of all, no one should hit the ground running. It sounds painful and I don't think you're going to get very far. And like, you're going to be tired. Like who runs and doesn't get tired? That sounds exhausting. And like fast paced is just a huge like red flag. What you're trying to do is like match the person to like what you actually need them to do, so they're not stressed out. Like you want them to be like doing their job in an effective and efficient way, not like burnout way.
Right. And we want everybody. It's like, sometimes I feel like this just goes back, and I'm glad you used the word systems. It's going back to dismantling these systems that have been put in place that prevent, don't put us in the best way to succeed.
No.
And like, and that, unfortunately, it's the way that they're taught. Like if you Googled how to be a manager, you're going to get all of that bad information, right? Yep. Because that's what people are clicking on. That's what everybody's doing. It's not working. So those are the things we have to consider.
It's not. And I think as we grow, like the world, I mean, I don't know what we're going to grow towards, because we were just talking about being on another planet, but we can't because what reasons, but we're getting to this point where I think people are expecting more metrics, like you were talking about, and systems and processes, and like, show me how this works, as opposed to like our parents' generation, where it was just like, you showed up, somebody told you something, you did it, you left, you didn't work on the weekends, you didn't, like, unless it was an emergency and you're on call. Like, there's different environments that are happening now that require all of us to kind of level up a little bit and be more transparent and clear, because, you know, like, my dad worked at Ford for 40 years before he passed away, like, being on the line. Like, that is not the same job we have right now. Like, that is literally, and whatever worked for him and his manager is not necessarily going to work for me. But we do have some of those managers who hold fast and true to those, like, old school, like, you know, how to, you know, win friends and influence people style of like management. And you're like, so
let's talk.
Feels familiar.
So we don't do Jello molds anymore. So maybe we should probably take a look at like other things that surround that time frame and re-examine them.
Well, and I think that you know, clocking in, clocking out, doing your job, but it's also like presenting, it goes, you know, back to communication, back to these conversations, back to the technology, giving people the bigger picture of, hey, you might be working on this widget on the line, but how does that widget tie into the rest of the org and into the bottom line and into all of the things?
Right.
The other part that we know that, I mean, I'll say my generation and generations after, it is more about like impact and, you know, what are you leaving? Are you leaving the world a better place kind of thing? And that whole concept there, it's no longer, I'm going to go work on the line for 40 years and then I'm done and I can retire. It's why is the, what I'm doing right here on the line, how is that impacting the world and making the world better? And you're like, that's a whole different conversation too, that we're having with folks now.
Right. I don't know if either of you saw the Woodstock 99 documentary, but never was it more present to me to have like the juxtaposition of the same co-founder of Woodstock do the one that was in 99 that was like, you know, I don't know if you remember, but like MTV, like the people almost died, like crazy. But it was the same founder, and it's a really good documentary series, only because for me, I was just like, I mean, I know Kids Riot in the 90s were crazy. I was there. I remember it was just, it was a time.
It was a moment.
It was a moment. that's having a moment again, by the way, but in fashion wise, but having that founder, like the same co-founder, Michael Lang, talk from about Woodstock 69 and then, you know, Woodstock 99, he was so vastly unaware of the changes that had happened. And like his purpose was an intent. We hear this all the time. His intention was really wonderful. He wanted to stop like gun violence and bring awareness to that. He just didn't understand, like, the kids in 99 were never going to be the same as the ones when he was a kid, and like, they want to riot, and like, perhaps maybe you should look at your lineup before you think you're going to have a very peaceful half a million people in an Air Force base with like, you know, drench mouth or whatever. It just is like, so it's for me, it was a perfect metaphor of, my intention was good, especially when we hear that within companies, but everything goes wrong. Like everything goes wrong because you don't have an awareness. Like you don't pay attention to signals and signs, you know, like of what's going on within the world, and like don't apply them to the thing that you're doing. It's no different, I think.
I agree with that. I think that happens often. I think my favorite is when the CEO does say, we're going to increase a hiring of women by 40%. They totally made that up. They never talk.
Right.
Okay, I'm not going to talk in absolutes. However,
right.
In most cases, I've never heard someone say, yes, we sat down, we came up with the number. Yeah, we know exactly. Look at Katie, just
because you said I'm not going to talk in. I'm not going to talk in absolutes. You said
and then she did it.
I am going to always.
Most very dramatic. It never happens.
I'm very dramatic. I will always talk in absolutes, always to be clear. But you know what I mean. Like I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah,
where it's like we sat down, we came up with a number, we came up with a plan. We're launching the plan. That date seems accurate.
Yeah,
and the person who says that. Always, again, just be dramatic and be, you know, too much is like you have to look at the apps, like the whole total addressable market of the whole candidate market.
Yeah,
it's these things out of nowhere and doesn't have a plan or doesn't understand what we're going on. To your point, when you're talking about the guy from Woodstock, there are all these things going on. Like, let me explain to you why we're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
Like, there are major companies that came out and said, we're going to be hiring more women at tech at the same time that they're literally being sued. Like, literally right now.
Literally.
People just walked away.
Right. Right. This is why when I got the DEI job at Leaf Group, you know, a lot of people were just like, so what, you know, do you have, what are your metric goals? And I was like, well, I think we need to understand patterns first, right? Like, I don't want to be the person coming out under the gun talking about, we're going to increase our demographic by 40%. And I'm like, what? There are so many factors. And who knew at the time we were going to still be in a pandemic with a global economy that is like, literally having a whole meltdown. It's like a roller coaster. Like I'm up, I'm down, I'm sideways, haha, strong job numbers, haha, layoffs. Like it just doesn't, like there isn't any rhyme or reason in how we all figure this out. And so for you to chart a path with like specific numbers without having all the variables, that makes me nervous. I'm like, I don't want to be like, oh, sorry, I just didn't account for, you know, insurrections and police brutality and murders and economies and, you know, like, you know, people deciding that childcare is equivalent to their salary. So I'm out, peace. Like, there are just so many different variables you can never account for. It's a for me, it was really important to see like, what's the pattern of what's happening for us and like, what makes sense for us. And then we can determine, are we behind the curve? Or are we like ahead of the curve? Are we at the curve? And what can we do about it? But it takes time. Like everyone thinks like, you know, DEI achieved, check done, we're good. Okay, on to the next one.
Right. And I feel like we haven't gone through full cycle in what feels like a new environment than we've had in the past to be able to even, we're just starting to see, okay, you implemented it here.
Yes.
With the after, but then it changed in the middle.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You don't even know how accurate it's going to be.
No. And like every measurable that everybody thought that they were going to use got topsy-turvied. Like, you know, women left the workforce, they were burned out, they were tired, they were discriminated against. And then everybody's like, must be in office. And then you're like, okay, that's a whole other set of like parameters that people are talking about. Like, I don't want to be in an office. If you, you know, if you're having microaggressions in the office already, why would you go back in the first place just to continue those microaggressions? And my favorite thing on TikTok now is the youngins going into the office and showing the office being empty. And they're like, oh, I commuted on the train for 2 hours. And like, all the execs are in their office meeting, or there's no one here in like, you know, empty cubicles. Like, it's like, you know, something out of, I don't know, like John Wick or whatever. You just like scared somebody's going to come out somewhere.
Yeah. But I think, yes. And the one that I also have seen is, so we're obviously seeing all these layoffs happen kind of in different industries. And, you know, I'm in the clean tech space and climate space. And the one that's throwing me off completely is also these tech companies that are getting a ton of money.
Yeah.
And they're growing exponentially. And now it's like, oh, we tripled in size in a year. And oddly enough, that didn't work out. Now we need to do layoffs. And so like to your point, did you look at like what's happening in the world and look at like just life generally? Like you can't triple in size as an organization. Right. And I'm not talking about inorganic like acquisitions. I'm talking about just true organic growth hiring and think that it's going to be okay. Like, that's bananas. And you need to think about like, what are you trying to like, it's something I tell leaders all the time when they're talking about culture. Culture isn't just, hey, what do we want the organization to be? It's also, what do we not want the organization? What do we want out? What do we want to make sure it's not there? And that's the part that I think you can't do that when you're scaling that quickly. Like, you're just hiring warm bodies at that point. Like, it's bananas. So
I don't know about you. So, but separate from like my job and like me at Leaf Group or whatever, as a reader and consumer of information, watching a lot of the layoffs that happened made me very uneasy about the skill level of like these supposed leaders and their companies. I think naively I thought, oh, there's some strategy that goes into scaling this quickly. You clearly, like, not all of you, but some of you have to have like put a plan together. And I feel like there's so many that just like, oh, you know, we're right sizing. Like,
no, yeah.
Did, like, you think that pandemic economy was gonna last like forever?
Right.
I didn't actually. I mean, I remember going to Asian markets to buy flour because they weren't in like my local grocery store. So I was like, this is not sustainable, right? Like, we can't, like, things are changing so quickly. Like, I'm going to smaller stores to buy things. And, you know, I stocked up on toilet paper and we'll never have to buy it again. Like, you know, but how does this, you know, how do we, these patterns and like these feelings come into play when you're responsible for organizations? You know what I mean?
But to answer your question, no, there isn't a plan. And basically, right, it's, I got a big check, and so I think I need a bigger company. Versus, and this is where I think it's such a critical, yeah, piece that, mm-hmm, every CEO needs to make sure that they have, I think the CFO role and the chief people officer role, or CHRO, whatever you want to, yeah, call it, are two of the most critical roles in any organization, because they are the ones that are keeping you in check on headcount and, mm-hmm, on how much you're spending and all these things. And I just don't think CEOs don't want to hear it, but you, yeah, have to be that voice to go, okay, let's talk about what the plan
is. You have to hear this, or else you're going to be on LinkedIn crying.
Right.
So, I hope not. Let's not do that. Let's.
Can we do that? Can we talk about that for a minute? Like, dude, what in the what?
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.
What in the narcissist?
I'm trying to really figure this out.
And then the people, like, some people are like, "Aw, but look, he's so sad. Like, he's just showing his feelings."
Oh my God. People that defended him, that specific person that we're referring to.
The crying CEO. Like, how, you can just Google that now.
Yeah, I was right. Like, how are you defending this? I don't understand.
Who around you?
Right.
Like, your support group, like, we say this all the time when there is a known person, or, you know, something goes viral, somebody tweets out, posts something that's like a little sus. We always go, who are your friends and how come they didn't stop you?
Right.
Like, how did you do this and think, yep, this is the right thing
to end up okay? This is
like, we all have checks and balances. You need some checks and balances. Hey, friend.
How did this turn out? Like, you just want to ask, like, what was the strategy? What was going to happen? Ideally, you're going to put a picture of yourself crying, and then the people are going to go, oh, like, really? You had to have, that took thought.
Because listen, we're all suffering to some level in this world that we can't really figure out. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO, a coordinator, working at like a fast food joint, whatever. If you have some pain point that has happened to you, and it's very valid, and like, no one is saying that, but honestly, to turn that in, how you manifest that, right? Like, how you demonstrate what that pain point is telling a lot about your privilege and like how you think you exist within the world. Honestly,
I was so pissed.
Yeah. I can't imagine it. The people who got laid off were equally pissed. Like, you know, It's bad enough you had that other CEO laying people off, you know, on Zoom and then crying, and like that got posted. And it's just like, I think we need to do better. We need to do better.
It goes back to, you know, we talked to Michelle, Naomi last week. Mm-hmm. Her episode will be up this week. I think it's this week. And, you know, she was talking about inclusive marketing.
Yeah.
And it is that, like, that's a perfect example of someone needs to smack you on the back of the head and go, absolutely not. You're absolutely not going to post this. Mm-hmm. You will look foolish and don't do that, period. Right. And whether it's your friend, whether it's someone else in your leadership team, whatever that looks like. And he needs to go think through his life somewhere.
All right.
On that note, what is one thing?
Dun, dun.
All right. One thing that you want to make sure our listeners got out of this episode. We covered a lot of ground. So one thing.
I mean, the through line, right, is if we talk about inclusivity, everything is literally connected in your organization. Like we talked about a lot of different topics. All of them have to do with inclusivity and talking about other people's existence and how you make space for that, right? Like, I think that was the real theme. Because I think a lot of organizations, you know, they have a DEI and they have a this and they have a that, but like they're all separate and they're siloed. Mm-hmm. Like everything, like, you know, you're referencing, like, how do I make this impact? Everything is connected. Like there is, if one team is not succeeding, then most of the team, like your organization is in pain, it's hurting. So how do we think of things as a holistic lens so that we're making sure that we are making impact and having these kinds of conversations? Because this is what's on people's minds. I mean, we're just, the three of us are people who work at places. So why would we be any different than any other, you know, person who works at a place having these kind of conversations as well? Make space for these and be inclusive about it. I don't know. I don't feel very.
I liked it.
I like it. Jackie, what's your thing?
Don't post pictures of yourself crying when you have reduction in force. One.
And also, let's be clear. Do you really think it was crying, or do you think that was like?
No, that was like total corn syrup.
Okay, sorry.
Prior.
Remember when you were a kid back in the day and you would just like lick your finger?
Yeah. Yes, it does not look good.
That doesn't look good, by the way. It doesn't look like tears.
Okay. Oh, not at all. Yeah. And the other thing that I would say is, like, I think I want to say just be thoughtful. Just take an extra step before you launch. I mean, that's the ultimate thing, whether it's when you get the performance feedback, as you're getting people on your team and you're collaborating with other groups, like just take an extra step to make sure that you're mindful.
Right.
So then we don't have to talk about you on our podcast. Because
use your people.
Use your people. Make new friends.
leverage your people. Oh, leverage your people.
Yes.
mine is kind of very similar to both of yours. It's the just have conversations with your teams about what's going on in like real life. Like, and I don't mean to have some deep, you know, doesn't have to be anything like that, but just like, hey, how are things going? And what, you know, what do you need and how can I help? And especially when we are remote, like those conversations are so much more critical. And, you know, we did Jackie's performance review.
Oh my God.
I did it live on the podcast. And so like Kieran was able to give her some feedback on her performance live on our podcast. And so, I'm just kidding. That did not really happen.
And I felt like I was going to die.
Jackie was like, hang up.
Leave meeting.
Yeah. No, but like just have conversations and have like talk to your folks and listen to your folks.
Yeah.
Tara, thank you. This has been fun.
This was so much fun. It was almost like just like us at Work Human and those conversations we were having over our delicious lunches. And so
that last lunch, not so much. That
not as much.
That was not when you all were leaving me all alone there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Should have gone to the airport that night, but it all worked out in the end.
That's right. Oh,
he turned out all right.
You look fine. You look great, though.
I live to tell the tale.
You look tan and rested in the stories and things. I hope we can do this again soon. Yeah. I love you both so very much. It's always such a pleasure. I get to laugh my arse off. So I really enjoy being with you. And thank you for letting me tag on yet again.
Hey. No.
This great show.
Your expertise with us.
Yes. No. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this has been the Inclusive AF Podcast. I'm Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton.
Bye.
Bye. True story.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.